Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Hip Hop Babies Album Review. It's your host with the most, Dead Lee, and I got my boy AC and Ray Lowe with me.
Yes, sir. We are back.
Kendrick is back, y'all. I gotta speak my mind on this album. This is crazy. It's crazy.
Kendrick, I'm just happy he came back. I know he was doubtful not that long ago. We was pretty doubtful that he was gonna come back, and he came back, and he came back hard.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Niggas was worried he was going to sound like Keem, bro. It was like, what are you doing with Baby Keem, bro? Is he going to sound like Keem? What are these new tracks that he's dropping? You know, he dropped some singles. So it was like, he dropped the Heart Part 5, and then he had all them features on the Keem album. So, you know, we really didn't know what we were getting. I think that this was probably, you know, the most perfect way to deliver an album. Let's get into it. First track, bro. What's y'all first thoughts?
First track was a really hard way to start out the album to me. You know, you're starting a double album out, so it can either go one or two ways. Either it could sum up everything or hint at what's going to happen, like foreshadow, or it could do, I don't know, like Kendrick could have went a lot of ways with it, and I feel like he found the most Kendrick way to start out the album. I've been going through something, you know, counting the days of how long, you know, basically 5 years. It's been a while. Talks about getting a therapist. It's an aggressive beat change. And him yelling, I grieve different. I loved it. Yeah, I feel like there was no other way you could start the album. It was one of my favorite tracks. Probably my favorite track, arguably, on first listen.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really crazy. It was crazy-ass song. Mm-hmm. And I think that the title itself spoke to something, you know, uniting in grief. Mm-hmm. This is a grieving time that we've been through past 2 years. So that one really hit home. Him just opening up about, you know, he going to a therapist. He's asking all these questions like he's mm-hmm. at the therapist and then mm-hmm. giving back answers. And then he says something along the lines of, I used to think there was only one answer for everything. He's showing that he's evolving already. And and then he highlights his mistakes in this project or in this song about his ways of coping with grief is spending money and having sex with lots of girls. And he was talking mm-hmm. about his first tour, and he was relating to a girl he was having sex with about her father dying in the chain gang and his brother mm-hmm. dying. He was 9 mm-hmm. and drawing those comparisons and, you know, really, really showing his inner self, telling everybody about, like, you know, really relatable things of how people try to deal with grief. That's just, you know, mm-hmm. we're all united, we all have these things, we all do it differently, and no way is right, no way is wrong. You know, something that we all have to go through. And like you were saying, it's a really hard way to start the album, but I think it was important because it's like, this is something we all face as an elephant in the room. Let's address it and then we move on, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, really, I think he was really very vulnerable. He was very vulnerable in this album and throughout the whole thing. You could definitely feel it in this first track. Kind of mm-hmm. like he was setting a, you know, stage for this album, what it's going to be like. You know, he's going to mm-hmm. actually take you through like what he's going through or what he's gone through and kind of vividly paint this picture, right? And letting, you know, the listeners know that, hey, you know, I go through things too, just like you, everyday folks, we go through things and, you know, kind of showing you what it's like for him to go through things, how he maybe neglected things that he went through, and how he's now coping with it and how he's trying to learn from it and grow through it. Right. Yeah. Great way to start an album, in my mm-hmm. opinion. It just kind of bled to the next track with N95. I think it was amazing flow. It was crazy. As Ray was saying, the beat changes was fire. His flow was crazy. Lyrics was crazy as always. Always such a great message. And when you have an artist that can do both spit and deliver mm-hmm. a great message at the same time, bro, is wild. It's wild. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Great way to start an album. Great way to start an album.
Yeah. Like as far as a mainstream album opening like this, like it's been a while. Since I've been like, okay, you hit me with all that out the get-go, because a lot of times people like to ease you in or just like maybe they'll spit over a chill beat. That was not mm-hmm. chill. Started out talking, the beat changed, the way the beat started warping in the back, him talk, like you said, him almost being like the therapist to himself and talking about how a lot of those traumatic things we were mentioning. I just love how he opened it up, you know. Everyone deals with grief differently. I've had to deal with grief, especially a lot in these recent years. And it's interesting to see how everyone deals with things. And we during the pandemic, especially, we've all had to change, whether it's a death or your lifestyle. you know, it affected everyone. So I feel like he knew he had to come strong, because if you're going to open up like that, you got to touch on how things have changed, because things have changed for everyone, you know?
Right. And not only did he have to come strong because, you know, he has his grand album, but he's been gone for 5 years, right? So I know, Deadly, you were touching on it a little bit, and what were we to expect, right? You know, he's been dropping stuff with Keem, and, you know, is he going to gravitate towards that sound? Once he dropped The Heart Part 5, I think it was kind of just like an ease of mind for everyone, knowing that Kenny is not gone, he's still in his bag, and he fully delivered, you know, with his album. So, and it was a quick indicator that he was going to deliver with his first track, so...
The United in Grief was bringing you up to speed, and then when you get to N95, now we're back in like present day, right?
Yes.
Like he's talking, he's reflecting, and then now we're here, and we're, you know, take it off, like, could either be your mask, or could be, take the screen off and go outside, go touch grass, you lame ass motherfucker.
Everything. Like, he was basically calling everyone out, like, take off whatever front, whatever mask you're putting on. I feel like that's why that title was dope, because it wasn't entirely really at all about COVID. He's just saying, take off your mask, as in your facade or whatever you're doing. I'm back.
Right.
Like, we're not doing that fake shit no more. Like, the fake numbers, all that. We keeping it real again. Yeah. And that was again, after Keeping It Real, going right into an aggressive Keeping It Real track where he's just talking shit again, almost like, I wouldn't say like humble and sound, but just like braggadocious Kendrick. That was dope. I really like that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
This shit hard, like you said. Yeah. That shit.
It was hard. It was hard. But it's just like, I just love the thought that goes into what he does. Like, calling it N95. There are so many things that as a listener can do. They can sit down and think, you know, is he talking about COVID? Is he talking about the N95 mask? We just got out of, or we're moving away from COVID, right? We're moving away from the mask. Or is he talking about the facade? Because if I remember correctly, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but he was like, take off all the material things and look what you have. Yeah. And that's where it goes. You ugliest, you know? Yeah. So it's like, take off that stuff that makes you think makes you look good, right? And, you know, strip down to your normal self and who you are. Stop hiding behind this facade, right? This mask. So
that was a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the I like the chorus too, because it is like still about the mask, because he talks about it like, I remember, like, in my community, right, when everybody took their masks off, you know, you got jokesters and niggas want to make jokes, so you take your mask off, they be like, nigga, you ugly as fuck, bro. Put your mask back on, right? Like,
and talking about cancel culture, like, he's been away for years, and he's still relevant in talking about, even going back to Damn, Damn hasn't aged bad to me, because a lot of those songs are still relevant or talking about things that you could still relate to, like most of his albums. I feel like this one would be the same way. Cause talk about cancel culture, I'll say what I want about you niggas, I'm like Oprah dog, like, it doesn't matter. And this album, he does say that. And N95, I think, is also talking about how these artists, he says, cancel culture and people not being able to say what they want is hurting the culture and hurting creatives. And they have to put on a mask or cover up and not say what they feel or really write about things they may want to write about, because it's a bad topic, you know? Worldwide Steppers. Ah, oh, I know y'all got some stuff to say about this one. Let's get into it.
AC, you got Dr. Umar in your background, bro. I need you to lead the charge, bro. I need you to give us the right opinion, bro.
Oh, man.
I don't care. Man. Take your mask off, nigga. Give us the right opinion, bro.
This is a great track, in my opinion. I know a lot of people did not mess with this track, though. A lot of people were just like, nah, he's spitting, but I really don't know what he's saying. But like, they didn't really fully dive deep into listening and hearing what he was saying or what the message he was trying to get across.
Let's start off with what he starts with, you know. I'm a killer, he's a killer, she's a killer bitch, you know, talking about society in a whole. And then he's coming in and he starts narrowing it down to himself, and he starts talking about his kids, and he starts you know, comparing watching Baby Shark with his daughter to looking at sharks out on the street and make sure that his children are safe, trying to protect his lineage and all this. And then he starts talking about God. He opens up about God like he didn't know what he was talking about for 2 years. He had writer's block. And then now he's saying, like, you ain't even hearing me no more now. This is God. He's coming through.
He's speaking through.
And then he starts reflecting on his life a little bit. And he starts talking about lust again. Lust is a really big topic, and this is a really prevalent theme. But he's talking about texting bitches got my thumbs hurting. Just go ask Whitney. That's his wife. And then we start getting into about like his health and how all this. And then we get to the part where
what you were the waiting first for, time bitch. He fucked a white bitch. He started talking about how he's messing with white women when he was younger, and then when he got bigger, and he started touring. Yeah, he started messing with other one, and then he had a reflection, as we were talking about. I think this track was pretty. I like this track a lot because, again, after N95, right, an aggressive track. You follow it up, you go even more dark. Mm-hmm. I think having Kodak started out, you know, with the little "We the Worldwide Steppers," and the beat just kicks in like that and starts flowing the way he does. It's just a lot of venting. Mm-hmm. Like this song was him venting right. almost angrily. About like what was going on and what was making him lust and do what mm-hmm. he was doing and grieving the way he was grieving. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes when you come to face with what you're doing when you're grieving or going through some things, it makes you angry. And that's what this gave me.
With the "he's a killer," all this. He starts going in after the beat change. The beat changes and it starts slowing down. He does an old school sample. And he starts talking about he's killing women with objectifying their bodies, like killing their confidence and stuff. And he's just creating all these similes together. We're all killers. We all kill, you know. And then he does it himself. He opens up about how he went to his community about it. And he starts talking about a little bit about the black community with mm-hmm. high cholesterol or high blood pressure flooded foods in his community that's killing his community that he needed to, you know, make change in. So it's a really, really packed in song, but you know, notice as you listen to these songs that they are heavily packed with like three different themes or like four different themes, and they all are just connected songs.
Yeah, and he was talking about cancel culture earlier, and I think that's why he went so hard in talking about how he's doing what he's doing, messing with white women. And I think he said it so aggressively. I think that's why he emphasized it. That's why he kept going on about it, you know what I'm saying, so vividly. It's because, again, he wants you to feel kind of uneasy listening to this, because I think he's dealing with a lot of uneasy things. You're not supposed to feel comfortable just hearing that necessarily. And he added to the album.
Well, I just hope that people don't hear one piece of that track but miss everything else, like all the other messages.
I think he did that on purpose, too, to catch people, like if they're trying to just use a part and make it a whole thing, you mm-hmm. know? Like we'll get into that later for sure. Like there's no way you listen to the album and you're like, what? Because he even like started quieting the beat and stuff.
Like I think he is doing this on purpose, where he's luring you in with like stuff like this, and then he's saying what he wants on the back end.
And that's why I think he even has the "what the fuck" like that sample, because he just starts spazzing, and that sample's from like TikTok and like funny things. And I think he does that on purpose too, because he's trying to find ways to be relevant. You know, he's been gone, so you got to find ways to catch people's ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, but this song, I feel like, again, just like, you know, the first two tracks, this third track, leading up to Die Hard, I think it's perfect. Mm-hmm. This is a perfect segue, right? Yeah. Just talking about the things and what he's going through to his coping mechanism at the time, right? So it's just like popping the pain away with pills and different things like that.
Yeah. I slide the pen away. Yeah, Die Hard. Yeah. He's talked about being a Gemini before, and it makes like this album's in two. It's split, and it makes sense. It's two sided. It's a lot of different emotions. He's going back and forth. Mm-hmm. I think Die Hard is kind of like that too. It reminded me of Damn, like songs with the song with Rihanna, "Loyalty," like the R&B side of Kendrick, where he's trying to just talk about our love. I think where he's talking about, you know, I love the girl I'm with.
And
it's hard to deal with that. You know, are you gonna wait for me to make up for my wrongs? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that track was good too. It was smooth. It's smooth. Blast on the hook.
Super smooth. And then who's mm-hmm. the other feature? Amanda.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a highlight. Yeah. Yeah.
I really like this song a lot. Mm-hmm. It was probably one of my favorites off first listen, but him reflecting yet again, him being like looking back and being like, yeah, I love hard, I do this hard and all this, but it's worth it in the end for me. Even though I do this, I want to see my family stronger. I want to see my money longer. I want to see all this stuff coming into my life. And, you know, that's the result from, you know, dying hard, like loving hard, doing things hard. And
yeah, if it's up, stay down for me. And then it goes right into the, what track? Father Time, right?
Father
Time. And that's dealing with love as well. He's pointing out how daddy issues can also affect your relationship and how you deal with love. Sampha, he's been in the cut, popped up on this. Whenever he shows up, you know it's going to be a highlight with the vocals. I liked it. It's probably in my top three, I think. I like the topic and I like what he went for.
I really like this song a lot because it's like really descriptive about my life and stuff and things I went through with my father. I actually sent my father this song after I listened to it because it got really emotional for me. Like this is a song about love. This is a song about your relationship. And especially the second verse where he's talking about, you know, you're not meant to show emotions, and it was to the point for him where he didn't know how to express himself properly. Like, I emotionally could not express myself to a lot of people, whether it was from girls to family members to friends. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do that because he was frowned upon to be like, mm-hmm. you know, sad, happy, angry. Like, and so I was always in like a constant state of frustration growing up. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for me being around my dad because he'd always make me feel like that. And I could never be myself. So I was always, you know, I always loved my mom a lot. And I always spent a lot of time with her because I could be myself with my mom. And it took a long time for me to realize, like, the stuff that my dad was teaching me is like, you know, this is affecting my relationships. This is affecting my life. And this is making mm-hmm. me not a better person. I need to grow from it. I need to, you know, talk to him about it. I need to evolve myself. So this is just a really awesome song. Sampha with this fucking chorus, bro. Mm-hmm. Good God, man. Like, when you were thinking about something emotional and that chorus comes on, bro, like, I went to tears, bro. I couldn't hold it in, bro. That nigga is spitting, bro.
Talks about how daddy issues can lead to misogyny and all this and a bunch of, like, a lot of stuff about abuse. Is this, that song, I think, really starts to, I wouldn't say transition because he's talking about it, but I think after that song, you really get into, like, okay, we're starting to really open up about trauma and how it's affecting you and relationships and how it's affecting Kendrick.
Lee, I love your take on this track. That's amazing. I'm glad that you were able to connect with it like that. It's a great song. Mm-hmm. You know, any song that you say on this album that, oh man, I didn't listen to it that much or the replay value wasn't there for me like that, doesn't mean that the song isn't a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10. It's an amazing track. I just personally didn't, you know, like it as much as others on the album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Listening to the song in the context of the album, amazing. Listening to the song, if I'm going to go around riding down the street by, you know, just out of the blue on shuffle, not so much. But Kendrick's very vulnerable on this album. Like, he's opening up about a lot of issues and things like that and how he's coping and how he's growing. This fits right in there. Just like a snug glove just fits. So I appreciate this track for sure. This was great. It meshes well with all the tracks that we talked about thus far, and it's going to, you know, again, lead into what's next. And I believe what's next is what? Rich Spirits? Rich Spirits. I think that's the interlude, though.
The Rich interlude talking about, I mean, he's having Kodak Black come and speak about how he went from, you know, rags to riches, basically, and mm-hmm. talking about how to find their own way, kick those and sell drugs, and even in this business that he works in, smart people make dumb decisions, and that's just how things play out sometimes, bro. So out of all the things he could ask Kodak to say, made him come up and say this over like a piano. I like the interlude, and I also like his feature too. I thought both of them were really good. I always kind of liked Kodak's music. I mean, he's never been bad. Florida's got some really good sounds. So and you know what, bro? They love it. They love it when you pro black, but you know, I'm more Kodak black. So
The track itself, Rich Spirit 2, is cool, catchy. His little weird like melodic flow on there, bitch, I'm attractive, and the little sounds. Yep. On, like, I don't know. I feel like that was a cool track. It's not one of my highlights, but I liked it. Fit with the album.
Bro, when that nigga going in on that second verse and it's like, bro, he's going in, bro. No, I love that song.
Yeah. Yep.
Strap brother
and that brother. That brother.
That was kind of an eye roller. I ain't gonna lie.
Cool.
Next song.
It was catchy. We Cry Together, though. Yeah. That ear catching instantly first listen. Surprise.
I love that.
What is this? Alchemist on the beat. Weird way to just hit you, like arguing out the get go of just him and Taylor Page just going back and forth. So that was dope to see, like, someone who's just like not really into music working with
Kendrick. Is she an actress?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So she's not into music, and she.
Well, I'm pretty sure Kendrick wrote the whole thing, and then she still, just kind of. But you she got into character. You yeah, she perform, got into character. You know what I'm saying? For sure. Like,
he could have maybe got another artist, but he obviously picked her, and she performed.
With her being an actress, it was perfect. Yeah, like, yeah. Even though that music is not your forte, possibly, right? She killed that.
You ain't getting these keys. It was interesting how he just, you know, pointed out toxic relationships. Yeah. The song's called We Cry Together. Everyone's been going through things, like I said. He said the world sounds like this. You know, we're always arguing. Whether it's a man, a woman, or whatever, like, we're always arguing about who's right, who's wrong. We're all divided. And I think that's what he was trying to point out on this track.
Yeah. I love the ending, too.
Yeah.
And the tap dancing.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we got to make up, and you got to stop tap dancing around the real issue, because... especially in relationships, like, you got to talk about the real things. You can't be tap dancing and then arguing about some fake stuff when really you're covering a deeper thing that's hurting the relationship, and then making up with it with makeup sex. That's an issue. That's the initial, you know, what you hear, but I liked it. Definitely added to the album. And when I listen to the album, I let it play through.
Yeah. I personally really, really enjoyed this track. I did. Honestly, if you haven't already, sit down with a good pair of headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And really listen to the track. I mean, you can hear everything. I just love the
production. You can hear everything. You can hear the table.
The production is amazing. Like, you can hear the table.
Hey, Lee's like, I don't need to hear that dropping in my ear.
I'm telling you, it's wild. Like,
only Kendrick can get away with this, though. Kendrick can get away with putting this on his album.
Bro, it was an argument, and he put that in music form, bro. And he added other things outside just so we can connect to it, just like we're regular hearing a regular human being out there just having an argument with his girl. They was moving tables. It was great. I just love, like I said at the end, like, stop tap dancing around this problem, right? And it's just like you said, having makeup sex at the end of the argument, that's not curing anything or fixing any problems. That's giving it a temporary band-aid that's going to rip off in a couple days, right?
Yeah.
Actually go seek counseling, you know, a relationship guidance counselor, whatever the case may be,
And she's going to keep talking about wanting to fuck your cousin when she mad. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You don't want to be dealing with that, right?
Right, exactly. So it's like you're saying, and the thing about it is, if you listen through it too, like, they're saying hurtful things to each other that aren't just something that you just say, you know, every day. Like, her saying she's gonna sleep with his cousin, that's wrong. Him blaming her arguments on her having her period, if you remember the reference to the song, he must be bleeding or something. It was a great track. I really like that track.
Nobody can do it like him. He makes his own characters. He does his own voices. He does every single album. You know, he has like 5 different characters that he does. Even though it's still himself, it's still kind of grounded. And then this song reminded me a lot of You. If you remember in You, while he's grieving, you hear the bottles clanking in the background because he's drinking the whole time. And it's painting a picture for you visually while also, you know, sonically, right? And he's really mastered that form without even a music video, bro. Like, you don't even have to, you don't need a music video for it. Like you were saying, you hear the table, the keys, all that, like, all the noises. You are actually in the room with them.
In there. Yeah. Exactly.
So that's why this song is really great.
He totally doesn't need a music video for this song. Like, I mean, you can see it yourself. Or you can think back to an argument you had. And it's good. I mean, it may not sound exactly like that. Hopefully not. I hope y'all arguments ain't sounding like that, but it might.
Hey, I was about to say, bro. Tell us if you need help, bro. Like,
no, you know what I'm saying? Not me personally, but I'm just saying it might. It might. But you're a victim. You a victim. Nah, bro. If it sounds like that, you know what I'm saying? You can think about it in like your own personal experience, right? But a music video would have been dope. And I think we glanced over N95's music video. Just want to touch on that just slightly since we're talking about music videos. That was great. Want to add that in there. That was amazing. So the different references he had in there, you know, the different things like that. The most powerful one I remember personally was when the little boy was pointing at the baby, the black and white one. That was dope. Different things like that. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Didn't want to go out of order there, but I just thought since we were talking about music videos, we talk about that. But what's next? Purple Hearts?
Purple Hearts.
Go in, bro.
I like this track too. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Hey, this is a great song too, and I'm not
Summer Walker.
Yes, sir. And Ghostface. Ghostface did his thing.
Yeah, Ghostface did his thing on the ending. Yeah.
Ghostface did his thing. Isn't this track
about London on the track or Baby Daddy being a fan still?
Baby Daddy's all on my phone.
It was cool. It was cool. That's not one of my favorites, but it's a cool like melodic. Like if you just throw it on and just let it cool.
Let it play.
I think that again might get me Damn or like Damn or Black Panther soundtrack vibes, where it's like he's working with another artist. He makes it kind of like chill, and it's like a loose R&B singing track. He's better. To me, it was better than Love and Loyalty, if I had to make a direct comparison. I like these tracks more. So
yes, for sure. Ooh, that's a great comparison too, Ray. That's a great comparison. I never thought about comparing the slow songs from this album to the slow songs he's had previously.
He's been doing that recently, and it's cool to see. Yeah. Cause sometimes I'm like worried. I'm like, especially at the beginning of this one, I'm like, oh, okay, how is Summer gonna fit? And then Ghostface came in and killed it.
He killed that.
He did.
Man, he killed that. He was slow.
Yeah, perfect lead into the second half, right? Like,
yeah,
kind of like talking about, you know, once love started talking, and then I think, I don't know, like if you had to make connections with the first and second half, I feel like that was a cool way to trans, like after going We Cry Together to Purple Hearts, and then you're going right to Count Me Out, right? If I'm not mistaken, you could tell that it's a big shift. That's about to happen, because those tracks kind of like start to lead into each other a lot.
Yeah.
And then the second half, they damn near all lead into each other. Like it starts to become like a,
This one is, for me, especially powerful because the way he juxtaposes the We Cry Together, This Is What the World Sounds Like. And then the next one is Shut the Fuck Up When You Hear Love Talking, like real love talking. That was really powerful. And then also, I thought Summer did a really great job, but I'm gonna be a hater for a moment and ask Kendrick why the fuck we ain't got no TDE members on this, when SZA could have done the same fucking thing.
That was different, but I feel like Summer, you know, talking about certain things was cool.
Her
and London on the track be arguing and talking shit on social media, so it's kind of cool to see him get her on the track right after, you know, talk about love.
It was relevant. It was just, I'm salty.
Yeah, but no TDE. I wanted TDE. I was kind of salty about that. Listen.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild for sure. There's definitely. It seemed, I don't know if there's beef, but it seemed as if so. Like, I mean, this man didn't have any TDE members on his album. That's crazy, bro. You could add Isaiah.
Yeah.
You could add any of them. They would have killed it. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's wild.
Yeah. It's wild. Because as we get into the second half, Count Me Out, that was cool. We get into a sample. I think, or that's just a choir scene. I think it's a sample from something, though. But either way, that choir.
I don't know. Choir is beautiful, though.
Yeah, the choir was beautiful. I like that. That added to the track. Some of the, vocal inflections and, the repetitiveness of the lyrics are, hit or miss. But I like that track. It's cool. Mm-hmm. As the starter for the second half, okay. Count Me Out. People were counting him out. People weren't. We're acting like he was about to retire. I was, too. I was like, he's damn near retired. And now he's back. So, okay.
Yeah, Count Me Out was cool. Just another opening track.
Crown, again.
Crown's all right. I mean,
nah, we can't glance over Crown. Like Crown was all right. I had a connection with Crown because it's like there's certain times where people expect certain things and like you try to provide that certain thing for certain people and you don't. Maybe you live up to the expectations you think. Or, they hold you to such a high standard that you just don't even know, how you're going to ever reach that. Or if you're trying to obtain, that or reach that. And, people aren't pleased, right? You do everything in your power to do something. They're not pleased. So I really connected with that song because it's like you really cannot please everybody. Like, that's just is. I feel like there's a lot of people that go through life just, trying to please so many people.
Yeah.
Or, that one person or that, group of people, and they just can't.
You know, I bet Kendrick does feel that way, especially because people hold him to such a high standard. Mm-hmm. And he's being human. He's being open on this album. And that could be hit or miss with people, especially if you were expecting Kendrick to do something else.
Yeah. Nah, for real.
Just push these things on me like,
Pushing the snakes away with bacon.
Silent Hill, going back to the upbeat.
Yeah,
Kodak Black, right? Kodak Black getting a full verse on this one.
Pull out
Kodak
the stick, Black. Hit the bitch with the wood.
Hit that bitch with the wood. Kodak got the bitch. Yeah, he did that. He killed this one. I like Kodak on this one. I feel like he added to this track. This is the perfect track to get him on. But this is the most. This is one of the more radio-friendly, like N95 songs on here.
True.
Catchy. I like what Kendrick's little flow and, you know, making fun of people like, you know, you hide behind your money. Again, pointing out people hiding behind their fake, you know, fake uppity, I'm better than you.
Yeah. Again, and then,
yeah.
I really like the beat on this, bro. And it totally sounds like a Kodak beat.
It does.
And then he came on at his opening line, bro. I'm always going to say it. I'm always going to scream that shit, bro. This is just such a good opening line for Kodak. And then the sounds that he added as the song progressed was crazy, bro.
I'm like, Kodak might be actually spitting, or is it just the beat? I
don't know. Kodak was spitting a little bit. Give Kodak a little credit.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. He was doing his thing. I like that. Yeah. Track. Definitely, this was a highlight for me. I like it. It's one of the tracks I actually just play casually.
Yeah.
Nowhere without pharmaceuticals. Nigga was spitting, bro.
Bro, hey, you know what I'm saying? Kodak, I feel like, surprises people from time to time. You know what I'm saying? He's definitely an artist that no one expected to still be relevant. He came out, 2000? Well, he started popping off like 2015. Mm-hmm. I want to say around then. Maybe a little earlier, 14, whatever. And he's still relevant in 2022. Shout out to Kodak. He did his thing. He got on a track with Kendrick Lamar.
And held his own, yeah.
We had too much fun, y'all. It's time to get back to being depressed, bro. Savior.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, we're seeing your, strung out while you doing division. Team, interlude,
Ever see your uncle stole after your birthday?
This was dope. Kodak's interlude was dope. And then Keem's was cool, too, because I feel like Keem opened up about a whole bunch of things, being Kendrick's cousin. So that's within the family. And then he's talking about how he had to deal with some traumatic things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kendrick mentions a bunch about how his family, you know, his auntie and other, you know, people in his family had to deal with things. So seeing how he's helping his family overcome the family curse, as he talks about later, dope.
Yeah.
Making that connection.
He does acknowledge, though, that, you know, sometimes he does see within his own family that some of the things that he does. He said he saw Keem buy 4 cars in 4 months. Mm-hmm. And he said that's the family blood. That's how it runs. You know, that was from the first track, I think.
You were Gemini by everything 2 times, like Kendrick said on what song was that? Wesley's Theory.
Oh yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Opening track of Tip of Butterfly. Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get into the actual Savior song, because we were talking about the interlude, but the actual song is really, really good. I like that he spells it out for you that, you know, all this like stan culture and stuff is toxic and bullshit. And he doesn't subscribe by it either. And then he goes on and tells you, and he's like, the cat's out of the bag. I'm not your savior, but this is what you could. This is what you could do. You know, you could enrich yourself and do something with your life.
He's like, I ain't saving y'all. Like, the rap game is the rap game. Like, I just came back just because I had to come back. I wanted to come back. Like, yeah, this track was tight. The tap dancing at first, you know. Because the rappers literally say, like, I'm rapping my pain. I'm telling you my story. And y'all are enjoying it, so... I did see that instantly, and he's really good at doing these things. And again, getting Keem on the hook, you know, are you happy for me when I'm out the way? Are you happy for me? Calling out people's shit, basically, like, people are up, like, there for you when you're up and when you're down, or like when things aren't looking the best, or when people are calling you out for something, a mistake you made, are you going to stick with me? And I think Kendrick had started to see, like, people were turning on him because he wasn't dropping an album, or he wasn't saying stuff during certain things, or when the riots and protests were going on, like...
They were calling his name, bro.
They were calling him out because he wasn't doing anything, even though he did go out later and participate. It's like, stay out my business, pretty much. Like, mind your business and let me do my shit and be happy for myself while I'm figuring out my life. You know what I'm saying? And... He did a real good job at calling people out, because Even myself, I was like, where the album at, man? It's been forever. Why ain't you talking about Donald Trump? Even on this album, he does mention certain things, but he doesn't totally take the time out to call out
Trump. He basically just said the president ain't shit.
Yeah, call out things. Like, it's still about him or our culture, which is dope. Mm-hmm. Auntie Diaries. Y'all want to get into this one? Get it out the way, man.
Let's get it out the way.
This one,
Grace Home.
Great song, yeah, I liked it. Song that's just needed in general.
Period, yeah, because, yeah.
You know, people need to have these discussions. People need to talk about this, about, like, you know, people judging people or just the change in culture. Like, I feel like, especially, you know, people try to focus. That's why I had to correct myself. People try to focus on homophobia in the black community, but homophobia was a thing in general. It wasn't just in our community. People try to point out how, like, we're homophobic now, our rap music is misogynistic, all this. Like, that's a problem in general. And I think Kendrick making this song, I think it definitely, as a black man, he is trying to relate more to people like us, because he's like, I know, like, it was more common. Like, it is what it is. Like, people talk this way. But back in the day, period, people used to say words like that. You know what I'm saying? It was comedic relief in TV shows. And I think he was just pointing out, like, now we have to change, or people grow up and change and they see things different. Like he was talking about earlier, it's all about perspective, and you have to look. He was saying he empathized with his auntie or his cousin from the get-go. It didn't take certain things. He already felt that way, and he had expressed it earlier. So it was dope to see him say that, you know?
Yeah, like he made up, like, in his own little twisted way, where he was like, my auntie, she ain't gay, she eat pussy, bro. Like, that's
because you gotta feel like you gotta explain yourself to people sometimes, and it shouldn't even need that. I think that's what he's saying. It's like, I kind of just, like, I didn't even know why I was making up stuff. I didn't know why I was saying those things, just because we're taught that certain things are normal, and you know, we make fun of people or just use things, and we don't know how it affects people.
And then that's, so the first verse is about, you know, his auntie turned to his uncle, and then it was about his cousin going through changes as well, and that was when he really started talking about, you know, he would hear all these words and he was and he would say them without thinking about them until he had somebody who was his own age who felt uncomfortable by it. And I thought this song was really profound, really powerful. Him using slurs was, in this context, was justified. And bro, he's saying, like, this was common talk, and people were like, what? Like, he really just said that, and he brought it to light.
People want to lie, bro, and act like people never back in the day was saying stuff like that. Just like they was never saying the N-word back in the day, and they get called out for it.
Yeah,
that's
his
point, bro. That's what he pointed out in the song. Like, it's a double standard. It's just like people like try to call people out for things, or be too hard about, like, let people express themselves or explain themselves, or, you know, make up for what they did in the past. I think that's what he was trying to telling that story. I didn't even expect that from Kendrick on this album. Like, coming into it, it was dope to see him doing that.
Yeah, so I want to chime in on this track, because I feel like, I think Kendrick did a great job in explaining multiple sides of things. I think he did a great job of explaining for someone who is trying to understand the LGBTQ community. In the beginning of, like, him being young, not fully understanding what's going on, because let's just be honest, this has been a transition for some time now. I mean, I feel like people are more receptive to it now, but maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, people weren't receiving that as they are now. So he was breaking it down of, like, it's okay to be unsure and not know what to do or how to respond or how to act accordingly, you know, around certain people like this, right? But educating yourself and saying, okay, these people are people as well. You know what I'm saying? Important. They may not be exactly like me, but they're still a person, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm not better than them. They're not better than me, but we got to come together and, you know, see each other as equal.
Yeah.
Right. And kind of seeing that, and what, going back to what you guys were saying about using the slur, I definitely see how people could get offended by it, just because, you know, it would be different. And this is me kind of going against Kendrick. It would be different if he said it just one time, right? And just to get the point across, but he, like, said it multiple times. But I don't know. I don't think he was trying to do anything kind of, you know, mischievous. I don't think he was trying to say it in a way that was, like, drag anyone down or anything like that. I just
think the way that he said it was, like, I felt like it was just supposed to be like blah blah blah, like a quitter,
right?
Like blah blah blah. Like people just say shit, right? And they say it like without actually thinking about it. So, and that was how he's relating it to the kids. Like kids are just chirping, brother. They just talk,
right?
We don't know. We
and,
don't know.
That. And that's why he followed that with "I don't know no better." Like he didn't know any better. Like he thinks like that's just another word you use around. Like you say stupid. That's just another word, right? You know, it's just all about education. All about saying, you know, again, going back to saying Kendrick was very vulnerable in this album. He's breaking himself down, saying, hey, I was wrong at a point in time, but look, you know what I'm saying? I learned, I conquered this, and now I'm growing from it and, you know, trying to teach other people.
Yeah, and he also opened up about how he had to stand up for a family member because, you know, the religious aspect and how certain people, you know, don't agree or literally go out their way to point out that it's a negative thing. And I like how he kind of did that because, you know, religion is a staple in a lot of people's life. And sometimes that can be used to make someone else feel less because they're not following a certain protocol. And I understand why he felt like he needed to say, well, I had to be vocal and say like, well, my cousin's a person too, that he's not what's wrong with the world because of his choice or because of certain things he likes. And that made sense. That was a cool point. That's why he said he chose family or life over religion or something, you know what I'm saying, or something like that, which was a dope point to make out. I think to even try to make a song about that was interesting. Was dope to see, and I love the message.
Yeah.
True. And then you go, and then
Mr. Morale.
He opens up, and then he's like, yeah, I've been talking about heavy stuff. I'm admitted, like, Mr. Morale, yeah, what I'm talking about is heavy. And he keeps going. Pharrell on the beat. I love this. This is an upbeat. Like, I can see this being, like, someone's, like, hype-up track because even though it's kind of talking about some stuff, the beat, he starts yelling. Yeah. Like, when he starts yelling like that, and then he starts really spazzing with the flows, talking about black trauma, SSI, you know, serving the film. Like, I don't know, man. Keep doing tracks like this. Like, this was crazy.
He was going crazy on it. Mm-hmm. As you said, Pharrell coming out. Whenever Pharrell make a beat, it's just like, you could take the lyrics off the beat.
Come on. Like,
listen to the beat. Like, you can just take the lyrics away. Like, Kendrick could have just slapped that beat on his album, and I would have been there like, this deep. Like, this this tough. This,
Tana Leon. Yeah. Right. Like, I'm crazy. Talk about hydrate, face your trauma. Like, what is he talking about, bro? Like, how are you making a song talk about it's time to heal, slap? Man. He's the only one that get away with doing it on this scale. And he has the ability to make it sound like this because he has such a big push and such an ability to make it cross over. Yeah. And it's great. It's great.
This sounded like a Black Panther track. I don't
kinda
know.
Kind of, I can see that.
Like, because the how heavy the drums were and all that, and really just talking his shit, bro. I thought it was a perfect way to show like what that character actually is, so you don't have to guess too much.
He starts hinting about abuse, and he says like his mother was abused young, or watching her auntie struggle with addiction. Now his firstborn, her firstborn is making like millions or something. You know what I'm saying? Like basically saying this song is basically about him conquering the family trauma. Like he talks about survivor's guilt a lot on To Pimp. And I think that's why on the heart and stuff, he mentions, you know, he was really heavy on the Nipsey point, you know, and stuff. Because at the end of the day, he's made it out from where he's from. It always calls you back, you know, and that's what got Nipsey killed. You know, someone coming back from your hood talking shit, you call him a snitch. You feel like you need to disconnect, or sometimes it's calling you back. So you show love all the time and it gets you killed or it gets you hurt. And I think this song was a good way to point that out again. Like, I'm dealing with survivor's guilt, but I'm also overcoming it and helping overcome the trauma and the repeating cycle of the curse, you know?
Yeah.
It starts getting darker, like, too, because Mother Eyes Sober is right after. Mother Eyes Sober is kind of, like, that one, literally the beat is sparse. It's just him talking about being sober from his lust addiction and stuff like that.
I love
that.
The music, though. I love
it's
the
good.
Music.
It's good. But it's,
and who was the track. The feature was Beth Gibbons? Yeah. I don't know. She killed it on the chorus, man. She really did.
Anything But Myself and stuff. Yeah, it's really a deep track. It's a dark track where I feel like he again pointed towards the maybe abuse, like his family asking him, did he get abused by someone, because his mom did and she wasn't opening up about it, but later she eventually said, well, I was asking you because I was abused by someone and I wanted you to tell me, and that's why I didn't believe you, even though, you know, you were saying no. And how those questions affected him and made him question himself. That was an impactful track. That was a moment that was needed because he's tying everything together. And he talks about dealing with grief sober, as far as from the, because he opens up about drinking a lot, but he was talking about really sex and stuff like that. And that's cheating. That's, you know, cheating on your wife and stuff. It's crazy.
Spending money to try to fill a void and all that. Like, it's not good, bro. And if anything that you're going to get from this album is most stuff that he's talking about are his mistakes. And one of the things I really love about Kendrick as an artist is when I first started listening, did not relate to a lot of the stuff that Kendrick was talking about. But he was sharing his mistakes and he was sharing what he learned from them. And as I grew in life, I had a lot of answers already spelled out for me because I listened to tracks and I saw connections to tracks in my real life experiences, and like what Kendrick did from those points to move forward. And it all comes back to united in grief. Like, we are all united in our plights and our problems, and you know, we're all just trying to make it through. This is a really good track too. Yeah, and what you were saying about his mother gaslighting him because she didn't believe that he wasn't a victim, because, you know, her past trauma made her think that, and that's what she's imprinting on her child. Something that came, that is a theme that connects to Father Time, with, you know, fathers imprinting on their children, making their lives harder for them. And I hope that your newfound children won't have that same imprint from their parents, because that is it's a really profound thing I haven't thought about, is, you know, parents do leave a mark on you, a stain on you, whether it's good or bad.
We have Mirror up next.
I chose me. I'm sorry.
He got a little groovy for a second in the morning news. I'm like, what is going on? Kendrick, again, singing. I liked it. I liked it though as a closer. I feel like it made sense. He's been gone so long, and then at the end of the album, he's saying, well, I've been choosing me. Yeah, cause I choose me. Yeah. And leaving TDE, you know, he's choosing me. He's choosing his family. He's moving on. He started PG Lang. It was interesting to hear him, like, close it like this, because I thought maybe he would try to, you know, go more hard and, like, rap it together. But to hear him over a groovy beat, add more sounds, I liked it. It was cool.
Yeah, I think it was like when I hear this track, I think of, like, you know, the credits is rolling, like the movie's over.
Yeah,
like,
literally. Yeah. Like, the credits. Like,
you know, you clap, you like the credits over. It's not really much to pay attention to. It's just like the message is still deep, like you said. But it's just like, all right, right on. I get what you're saying. Like, you choosing you, like in different aspects of, like, you going to seek therapy, getting help. You choosing you. You leaving TDE.
He had a kid and everything. You know what I'm saying? Even dealing with a lot. Take time, like, off. You know, deal with yourself. Deal with your trauma. Deal with heal.
Exactly.
You got to take for your time for yourself to heal, and that's a big part of this
exactly
album.
Yeah.
This album was, I think it was worth the wait. I mean, I wasn't really, I was tripping to a certain degree, like, is he gonna even drop? Like, what's taking so long? How is he gonna drop? I'm kind of happy he dropped the heart and then just dropped the album. Don't drop singles, surprise us kind of all at once, technically, because the heart is like a, you know, a promotional single, and then drop something that's hard hitting, opening up, because it's been so long. So it's like, you know, what's been going on with Kendrick? What's been going on? There's been a lot going on in our life. We're 5 years older. It's cool to have him come back and come back like this. I'm excited to see what he's going to drop next, because hopefully he doesn't make us wait this long again. Like, if he comes back and keeps dropping and starts dropping, like, more albums like this.
Do you think it's going to be this long of a wait now since he's left TDE, now PG Lang?
Nah.
I mean, we know Kendrick is a guy that likes to sit and think and ponder, you know, and you think 2 years?
2 or 3 years. I think 5 years was short. Like, that was absurd. Like, for artists nowadays, that was a long time. Because you've done it once. Because
it's different.
Yeah, you've done it once. Yeah. You dropped this album, and some people probably didn't. You know how it is. People are already critical because they waited so long.
Yeah.
You gonna make him wait this long again? And you just started a new label? Unless he's doing something else, like unless he's just helping Keem now.
No. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Personally, don't think he's like in any kind of rush though. So.
Nah. So two, three years.
Yeah.
Not a year. I don't think he's dropping like next year.
No, he's definitely not dropping next year. Definitely not dropping next year. I think definitely COVID played a big part too. Like he wanted a tour, so I think when we had those thoughts as well, like him waiting until right that.
Right after.
Hopefully he doesn't get writer's block for another 2 years, because fuck that shit, bro. That shit sucked. Yeah. I wasn't a hip hop baby when Damn dropped. Like,
man, yeah, yeah. We didn't review Black Panther. I don't even know if we reviewed
Black Panther. This is the first actual Kendrick new drop.
Like, I think we might have talked about To Pimp on an episode, but this is the first time we talked about a new Kendrick project. A lot has changed. We've been going through something. He didn't let me down. Shit.
Nope. Definitely not. Definitely. Round of applause for that man, Kenny, bro.
Album of the Year contender.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we do our list, which we're going to put out, you know, fuck all that. Yeah. Last year, you know, we had issues, but I'm going to cut that. But this year, okay, when we put out our list, I don't know if it's going to be Album of the Year, but this is like up there. It's like one or two, three right now. So,
yeah.
This is an Album of the Year contender.
I chose me. I'm sorry.
Shout out every Kendrick fan that stuck with us,
man,
through this entire video. I really doubt that you did, but if you made it here, I'll give you a cookie. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hey,
subscribe, like. Yeah. What AC guys say? What you guys say, AC?
You know, Hip Hop Babies will be at the concert in Oakland, so you know what I'm saying. We're gonna be there, show some love if you see us there. If you watch us, man, that's crazy. That'd be dope. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Watch our live
in Oakland.
Hey, watch the story. Hip Hop Babies Instagram. Watch the story. We're gonna show you what it looks like in there. What he's playing. What's popping off. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for listening, man. We're gonna get back to the topics. We're keeping the album reviews coming. Yeah, everything will be in the description. Our favorite tracks will be in the description as well. So if you just want like to look at what tracks we like. With that being said, peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.